And next to me on the couch is this adorable little cheetah cub that is zonkered. You know, and I'm just petting that. And that was my research for the book.
From the Center for the Study and Teaching of Writing at The Ohio State University, this is Writer's Talk. I'm Doug Dangler. The annual Ohioana Book Festival celebrates Ohio authors. We talked to a number of authors at the 2009 festival about their latest publications and the writing life. In this episode, we talked to John Becker.
And this is for the CSTW podcasts. And I'm talking to Dr. John Becker, who is an author and is here at Ohioana with his book, or more than one book.
I've got a couple of them here today. Of the 26 books I've had published, I've got two of them here.
Okay. What two books do you have here?
I've got a picture book, which is called Mugambi's Journey, and it's a story about little cheetahs in Africa, and it's based on my first trip to Africa when we were fortunate enough to see a mother and three little cheetah cubs, which you don't always do when you go to Africa. And they were in a kind of flat grassland area that didn't seem particularly safe for little guys, and kind of wondered how they got to where they were at and where they were going to go once they left there and what would happen to the little guys when mom had to leave them to go hunting or something. And so I thought about it and I made up a story and became a book.
Excellent.
So it's always fun when it works that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, what topics are you currently working on? What else are you writing about right now?
Actually, I just finished a manuscript that I was asked to write for the Columbus Zoo. They have two little cheetah cubs and two little Anatolian shepherd puppies that they are raising together like their litter mates. And Jack Hanna has already had these animals on Good Morning America. He's had them on the Mari Povich show and the Letterman show, and they're building a new pavilion. I think they're calling it Jungle Jack's Landing, where they're going to do like animal shows and that sort of thing. And they're going to feature these animals there. And the reason they're doing all this is in Africa, cheetah populations for a long time have been dropping off. And the reason they're dropping is very simple. There's more and more farms. And if you're a farmer, you've got a handful of goats, and that's what's keeping your family alive. And a cheetah comes along and eats your goat. You're going to get your gun and you're going to shoot the cheetah. Mm-hmm. And so the populations of cheetahs have been falling off. So somebody got the idea, actually it was the Cheetah Conservation Fund, a conservation organization that I'm a member of, got a brilliant but very simple idea. In Turkey, for centuries, they've had these really large, I mean up to 150-pound guard dogs, Anatolian shepherds, to guard their flocks over there from wolves and other predators. And they thought, well, why don't we go to Turkey, get some of these dogs, put them on farms. And when a cheetah comes along, cheetahs are a little different than other cats in that they're somewhat timid. So if a big 150-pound, extremely aggressive, fearless dog comes charging at a cheetah, the cheetah will go, whoa, and turn around and run away and leave the herds alone. Mm-hmm. When they do that, they have no reason to shoot them anymore, and the cheetah populations are going up. Mm-hmm. Well, the Columbus Zoo has been supporting this project for some time now, and they want to focus on that with these television appearances and at the new pavilion at the zoo and that sort of thing to raise money, because the only problem with it right now is these dogs are very expensive, and they just want to get more of them out there on more farms, and obviously there'll be more cheetahs. And so they're, again, raising them as, I mean, it's just like they're litter mates. It's just amazing to see them interact with each other. And so they wanted to have a book, a picture book, that would go along with this project. And they asked me to write the book. And I finished the text. And I like it. I think it's good. And we're probably going to end up with a series of books at different life stages of these animals.
Now, wouldn't raising them as a litter mate mean that the dogs would be less likely to bark at the cheetah?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
These are
not going back.
They're not going back into the wild. No, they will be animal ambassadors, they call them.
Okay.
So that people, like I did a, I was down in a school that I go to every year to do an author visit outside of Portsmouth in Wheelersburg. And the zoo, bless their hearts, at no charge for my program, because I was doing an author visit anyhow, they brought down one of the cheetahs and one of the puppies. Mm. People in that school went bonkers. I mean, they that was the most amazing thing they had seen, and especially when they knew, you know, why they're doing this, why these animals are together like that. So my book is going to be called Cheetah Friends. Mm-hmm. So look for it at the zoo, and okay. Jack will be talking about it on his TV show and
great.
The appearances that he makes and that sort of thing. So
okay.
Yeah.
Now you've talked about having you know, some of these different. People asking you to do things. What's your writing process when you're generating your own book? How do you start it? You get the idea and then sit down and write. Do you do outlines? What do you do?
You know, I teach at the Thurber Writing Academy here in Columbus, and I do a lot of author visits in schools, and that's one of the questions kids ask, you know, where do you start from? You know, how do you get going? Or sometimes they'll say, I can't think of anything to write about. And I'm always telling kids that, you know, think about the things that you're interested in, things that you're curious about, and that you'd like to know more about. And really, very simply, what someone, I mean, as I mentioned before, 24 of my 25 books for children are nonfiction. And so basically what a nonfiction writer does is just learn everything they can about a given subject. In my case, it's about animals. All my books are about wildlife. And in satisfying your own curiosity and learning everything you can about that subject, then you just write it down, what you've learned, and share what you've learned with other people. That's what a nonfiction writer does. So it's pretty simple and pretty straightforward. But mm-hmm. the cool part of it is, like that book I just mentioned, my research for that book was really tough. I had to go to the Columbus Zoo, mm-hmm. and I went to the promotions department, and I'm sitting on a couch with an Anatolian Shepherd puppy with its head in my lap, just as content and happy, you know, and I'm just doing this, scratching it, and next to me on the couch is this adorable little cheetah cub that is zonkered, you know, and I'm just petting that, and that was my research for the book.
So you were able to include things like Anatolian Shepherds like to be scratched behind the ears on the neck, all these important facts.
Research, yeah, absolutely, right.
Sure,
yes, yeah.
Well, what genre of writing haven't you written that you would like to try?
Well, actually, I've dabbled in a lot of different genres, but so far, it's been the nonfiction, wildlife-oriented pieces that I've had published, and the Mugambi's Journey is the name of that fictional picture book that I wrote, that I have out on a table out there, and so I've written more picture book manuscripts. Fictional that I'd like to get published, several more actually, just looking for a publisher for some right now. But I also I've always been interested in like famous people and you know, so I love biographies, and I'm in the process of writing some biographies about some people who are kind of obscure today but have done some pretty interesting things to do with wildlife. For example, there was a guy when I was growing up, and of course I'm ancient, but when I was a kid, there was a guy named Frank Buck, who was, his nickname was Bring Him Back Alive, because back in the 30s and 40s, he went off into exotic locales around the world, and he captured wild animals and brought them to zoos. So there's probably not a zoo in the world right now that doesn't have a descendant of one of the animals he brought back. Now, we know today that you want to leave wild animals in the wild, but mm-hmm. he was good in that he really cared about the animals, and his nickname, Bring Them Back Alive. A lot of adventurers back in those days, their whole thing was to go and shoot an animal and bring back the skin or something. And he, you know, took great pride in the fact that he he never had to kill an animal. He was always able to capture it alive and bring it back. So he was an, an amazing guy. And so I'm actually working on a biography of his life because, as I said, I mentioned that name to people today, and even most adults have never even heard the name. Mm-hmm. So things like that.
What authors do you particularly admire?
Boy, there are a lot. When I was a kid, a lot of times when I do my author visits in schools, someone will say, I mean, almost every time I go into a school, one of the questions I get is, you know, what prompted you to become an author? And when I was a kid, and I remember distinctly, I was in A.J. Rickoff Elementary School in Cleveland, Ohio, and I remember us going to the library, and at that point in my life, I was really fascinated by horses, and I pulled a book off the shelf, which was called Misty of Chincoteague.
Oh, right, yeah.
Marguerite Henry was the author. And I read that book, and it was almost like a life-changing experience because I thought to myself, oh, my gosh, how cool it would be to someday write like that. Well, I still don't write as well as Marguerite Henry did, and she passed away not too long ago. And I was very, very sad because I always wanted to meet her. And as a matter of fact, when my kids were both small, they're grown up now, but when they were small, they both read Misty of Chincoteague. Kids today are still reading Misty of Chincoteague. And we actually did a family vacation one summer where we went to Virginia and we went to Assateague and Chincoteague Island.
I went to.
And the wild ponies, as you know, are still running around.
Right.
It was to this day, when we get together as a family, I mean, somewhere in the course of the conversation, we still talk about that magical summer trip that we made to see the ponies.
And did you go to the Misty of Chincoteague Museum?
We didn't make that. We were doing 100 other things on that trip, and we didn't. But I would love to go back and to do that. And of course, Marguerite Henry wrote lots of other, you know, Misty's Foal, and I mean, I can't think of all the other titles. But she was an amazing writer, and they made a movie. I actually have a copy, and I think it was done in the 50s. That I have a video of at home of Misty of Chincoteague, too. So that really is, to this day, she's still one of my all-time favorite authors, and she is one of the ones that influenced me to become an author, you know.
All right, well, I want to thank you very much for
thank
talking
you for
to us today.
Giving me this opportunity. I appreciate it.
Have a great Ohio Anna.
Thank you very much.
Be sure to check out our other Ohio Anna podcasts and our many author interviews at www.writerstalk.org. Until the next time, keep writing.